الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أعطي أحد من أطاع خير وأوسع من الصبر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who through His infinite mercy and grace yet again has allowed us and graced us with such a beautiful day, the day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people are such that they cannot make it, they cannot see, they cannot witness this beautiful occasion of Jumu'ah. Sometimes I go to hospitals to give bayans, and you get a person who is one ward above the musalla. But because of his health condition, he cannot come down. The other people that are stuck in the beds because of some medical condition, they are unable to leave their homes. But they know that now it is 12 o'clock. It is the time of Jummah. Their whole life they've been going for Jummah Salah. Ask these people how they feel unable to make it for the occasion of Jummah. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us this beautiful opportunity. And we make dua in our hearts that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow us to see many, many more Jumu'ahs. And allow us also to take full advantage of this day of Jumu'ah. This is indeed a very, very great and auspicious day. We should try and take full advantage of this day that Allah Pak has given to us on the platter. Anyway, the topic that I wish to discuss today is insan in his life, in his destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for him. In this journey of life that he has to undergo, there will be two conditions that will face him at every given moment. One is a condition of happiness. Sometimes a baby is born in the family. Sometimes somebody's nikah is taking place. Sometimes somebody is afforded the opportunity of going for umrah or for hajj. It is a happy occasion. So he'll be going through situations of happiness. And on this situation of happiness, a person expresses shukr. A person shows grateful and he shows gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are other times in our lives we will experience sad moments. Sad moments a person experiences and he has to display sabr. So generally in life we are going through these two conditions. The condition of shukr or the conditions of sabr. And how do we demonstrate and how do we go and how do we face this journey of life when it comes to these conditions? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has showed us beautifully in his teachings, in his style, and in his ways, that every opportunity a person gets, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't lose that opportunity to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma lakal hamdu ala ni'matil iman. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank you firstly that you've given us iman. We could have been from amongst those people that are kafir. Those people that have been deprived of taking the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَىٰ نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ O Allah, you've blessed us with Islam. The outward formalities that we do, our salah, our zakat, our hajj, our fasting, etc. All has got to do with Islam. O Allah, we thank you that you've given us this opportunity to practice upon Islam. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَىٰ نِعْمَةِ الْقُرْآنِ O Allah, you've given us the Qur'an. Such a beautiful thing. People that understand kalam and understand poetry and people that understand the beautiful meaning of Quran, they tell you that this Quran is such a thing you'll never ever get tired of. A person who's the greatest mufassir right at the end of his life, meaning at that point is the point that he would have seen the most amount of tafsir, he would have gone into the most in-depth research as far as the meanings of the Quran is concerned. Even at that point, just before he can pass away, if he digs deeper, he'll find a new meaning to the words of the Quran. Such a beautiful kalam Allah has given us. And a person reads it and reads it and reads it and he doesn't get tired. Surah Fatiha is something that we're listening to every day in our salah. Can anybody say that I'm tired to listen to Surah Fatiha? But any other speech, if a person just listens to it, it becomes boredom after a while. But this is the beauty of Quran. Oh Allah, we thank you that you've given us Quran. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَىٰ نِعْمَةِ الزَّوْجَاتِ Oh Allah, you've given us wives. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَىٰ نِعْمَةِ الْأَوْلَادِ You've given us children. Oh Allah, you've given us parents. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَىٰ نِعْمَةِ الْكَثِيرَةِ وَآلَائِكَ الْجَثِيمَةِ Numerous amounts of ni'mat, oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have given us. What is there for us now to even complain about? So then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَتَّى تَرْضَىٰ Oh Allah, we thank you until the time that you become pleased. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ بَعْدَ الرِّضَىٰ Even after you become pleased, oh Allah, we're still grateful to you for what you have given us. So this is a believer, he's always thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem we find today, why people generally are not happy, is we don't have this contentment in our heart. Today we are looking at figures and we are looking at those that got more than us and then we are not happy. And this is a reality. Sometimes we meet people that are multi-millionaires, but yet because of the lack of contentment in the heart, the person is complaining all the time. There was one person that I met maybe about 10 years back. So this person at that time, his net asset value was about 150 million, conservative figure. 150 million. But whilst talking to me, he said, just excuse me for a minute, I need to get a cigarette. He gets a cigarette and he finishes it. And when he finishes that one, he takes another one. And he's telling me that I'm unable to operate because of the amount of stress. So to reduce stress, I have to keep a cigarette in my mouth all the time. So this is what it is. When a person doesn't have contentment, it doesn't matter how much you've got in the bank. But all the time you're chasing and you're chasing and you're bringing upon stress upon yourself. But yet a man who has very, very little, but he's got contentment in his heart. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ Then contentment has got nothing to do with the amount that you have. The goods and the wealth and the assets and the bank balances you've got. It got absolutely nothing to do with that. With that, وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّفْسِ But real wealth. Real wealth is the wealth of the heart. The man is happy, that man is a wealthy man. The man is not happy, he is not content with what Allah Pak has given him. No amount can make him happy. There was another multi-millionaire came recently, he was speaking to me. So he's telling me, I'm very worried, I can't even sleep. So I asked him, what's your problem? What is stopping you from getting sleep? So he said, I'm frightened and I'm afraid that all the wealth that I've gathered over the period of time, now my children are going to fight over it the day my eyes close. Now that fear that my children are going to fight over my wealth is causing me the lack of sleep and the loss of sleep. So is this real beauty? Is this something that a person can really be proud about? Is that he worked for his whole life and he studied for and he made an effort for? And right at the end, this is causing him the most amount of stress. So therefore, wealth is good, yes, if it comes the correct way and it is used in the correct way, because that comes with barakat. And barakat is such a thing, you cannot find it on the balance sheet. Look at the best trial balance, look at the balance sheet. No, look as much as you want, you won't see a line item called barakat. But where a person's dealings and where a person's income and the way a person lives his life is according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in that little wealth that he has, he'll have barakat. Look at the people before us, the elder generation, that so many people used to stay in one house and one person would be earning, but everyone would come out of that house happy. Now there's so many people earning in one house, but everyone seems to say, we can't meet. At the end of the month, we can't make ends meet. So this is what barakat is all about. Anyway, this wasn't my topic, I'm just mentioning it by the way. The topic that I really wanted to go into for a few minutes is this aspect about bringing sabr in our lives. One is shukr that we make, we're happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us. And the next thing is this aspect of sabr. Sabr is such a thing, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, مَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَطَاعٍ خَيْرٌ وَأَوْسَعُ مِنَ السَّبْرِ There isn't any ni'mat that is more far-reaching, that is more broad-spectrum in its effects and its benefits to a person more than the benefit of sabr. Why? We might think that there's so many ni'mat a person can be given. Why did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mention sabr? Because sabr is such a thing, it will help a person at every given moment. There are generally three levels of sabr. One is as-sabru ala ta'at. Sabr, when we have to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the time of fajr. Now it is cold also, early fajr salah is. Now a person is finding it so hard. But that perseverance and that tolerance and that difficulty that he takes upon himself is called sabr. Sabr has got a very broad meaning. It is not just restricted to how we translate as patience. But it starts off very, very broadly that a person obeys every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every injunction, and it goes on to mean that a person displays loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every facet of his life. So now that time of Fajr, what loyalty he is expected to display is that he goes for his Fajr Salah. This is Sabr also. So this is a Sabru ala Ta'at. When it comes to fasting now, a person, it is maybe a hot day, it may be a long day, a person may be in the summer months, but then he is forcing himself to fast. This is also known as Sabr. So a person has got Sabr in his life, to obey any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become easy. The next form of Sabr you get is a Sabru indal Bala, which is a common one that we all know about. When a person is faced with some tragedy, a person, he displays and he demonstrates a level of patience. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was passing by a qabrastan, and he had seen a woman that was wailing and crying there at a graveside. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, this woman had lost her child. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam advised her nicely, ittaqillaha wasbiri, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt patience. So this woman, she didn't realize in that emotional state of hers, she didn't realize who was talking to her. So she just said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي, that just get away from me, move away from me, because you haven't been afflicted with what I have been afflicted with. Like how we say, you don't know what I'm going through. So these were the words she used. Now she was a woman, she wasn't some family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was some stranger. But the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us a very important lesson. That sometimes you have to make the ri'ayat. Ri'ayat means you have to take into consideration the emotional state of a person. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately understood and he took into consideration this woman's emotional state and he just walked away. He could have said many things, that I am the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and I am telling you what is good for you, and yet you are answering back and you are saying such words. But he didn't say anything like that. He understood this is the woman's condition, and based on her condition he just walks away and he moves away. So after some time, or after a little while, some people gathered around and told her that, do you know who you said these words to? So she said, no, I don't know who I said these words to. It was told to her that you said these words to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sahaba was such that they wouldn't sit back, understanding that they have done something so serious. So immediately she rushed off. She rushed off to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she excuses herself and she apologizes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, understanding that she is in a more calm state, in a more rational state, so she can rationale better. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam told her now, as-sabru inda sadmatil ula, that the true patience that a person can display and demonstrate is at the initial stages when a person is expected to display patience. At the initial phases when he's expected to display patience, at that time he's patient, this is true sabr. Why? Because later on he'll have to deal with the consequences, whether he likes it or not. That is not real sabr. Real sabr is what he does at the occasion when he's faced. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his whole life he had to go through they had to go through sabr. But we find that when he, before he was born, his father had passed away. Then when he was merely 6 years old, whilst on her journey, his mother had taken him to visit his mother's family that was in Madinatul Munawwara. So when she was returning from there with him, they were just the three of them on journey en route. So when they were returning from there at a place called Abwa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mother suddenly passed away. Now this is a lesson for us to take, that if the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam could go through so much in his life, how much must we be prepared? Being the most beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through so much of sabr and he never complained. How much more must we be able to, or must we want to imitate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So anyway, she passes away. Now tears in his eyes, and he said at this, Allah Pak could have made it such that his mother passed away in Makkah Sharif, his father's family was there around him to give him that support, or passed away in Medina Sharif where the mother's family was there. But yeah, en route. This one incident is coming to mind. When it comes to life, there is no guarantee. And nobody should ever feel that I've got a guarantee. Just few weeks back, there was a close friend of mine. And he was leaving overseas just for a few days. And the night before he left also, he came and met me and he tells me, Molana, I'm just going for a few days, I'm going for a week and I'll be back. Before you know it, I'll be back. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it such that he went and he never returned. Young person, fit, healthy, outwardly, everything looks good. That everything that you see about this person will make you think that this person will live a long life, inshallah. Young man as he could be, en route on the flight, he has an attack and he passes away. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no guarantee. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loses his mother at the age of 6.
Now at the age of 8, when he's staying with his grandfather passes away. So can you imagine, we're just getting close, that bond is just getting close, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to take that person away from him. Now he lives for approximately 40 years with that uncle of his, Abu Talib. That uncle gets so he's so close to that uncle. A time comes in his life where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that protection that the uncle is giving to him, for that protection also to be left. So this... So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was at the age of approximately 50 years old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken now this uncle of his away. And just before that, that uncle that given him that support and that pillar that he was almost growing up in front of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that this uncle now comes and tells him that I no longer, because of the pressure of the Quraysh, I no longer can give you that support. And then he says these beautiful words that if they have to place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, then also I'm not willing to give up this effort of mine. So that support also now was taken away from that uncle of his. So at the age of 50, he loses this uncle of his that was that support and that pillar to him. And at the age of 50, he loses his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was so close to him, so close. On the occasion of the Battle of Badr, when all the prisoners of the war of Badr were gathered, one of the prisoners was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu al-As ibn Rabi'a. At that time he wasn't a Muslim. He was married to the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So now when Mashura was made, it was decided to take some ransom from each prisoner and free them. So from this son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha was still in Makkah Sharif at that time. She had sent one necklace, that this necklace is going to ransom my husband. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had seen that necklace, it was the necklace that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had given her daughter Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha at the time of marriage. Now this was her own personal necklace of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw this necklace, he became very, 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 very saddened about it. He began to tear. He was very affected by it, that this was the necklace of my beloved wife, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. He remembered her in those moments, and then he asked Sahaba, he made mashura with them, that will you allow me to return this back to my daughter? Because this was almost like a wedding gift that she had been given from a beloved wife of mine. And Sahaba agreed. So now that ransom of his son-in-law had become, that now what you do is you go back, and the ransom is you send my daughter to Madinatul Munawwara. So this even was the sacrifice and the qurbani that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had gone. And now at the age of 55, that beloved uncle of his, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him away also, who was the foster brother. So we see at every moment some family member is leaving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but not once did he complain. And at the age of 60, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loses somebody who was very close to him, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu was so close and so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on occasion of the conquest of Khaybar. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu just came after that. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says that I don't know whether I'm more happy on the conquest of Khaybar or I'm more happy on seeing my cousin Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu. But just 2 years with him, and Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu is also martyred in Muta. And at that time, the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa radiallahu anhu, is also killed. And at that age also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loses his beloved daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, just 2 years before he can pass away at the age of 61, he loses his beloved son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, small baby, infant. In his hands, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is holding that baby, and that baby's life is taken away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has got tears in his eyes. When he been asked that, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, almost as though that is not expected of a Nabi to tear at the loss of someone. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Inna al-ayna tadma' wal-qalba yahzan wa la naqulu illa ma yarda rabbuna." That these eyes tear, the heart grieves, but we don't say anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is sabr all about. That a person doesn't say anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, in this world we'll go through hard times. We'll go through difficulties. We'll go through situations where we'll lose family members, we'll lose friends. But how do we deal with it at that moment? This is sabr. And the next form of sabr is as-sabru anil ma'asiyah. That a person exercises patience at the time when he's tempted to commit sin. Especially this period of December that is coming so close, people already have started planning the holidays. A person is careful that, am I going to a place where this disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place? If a person has true perseverance, true patience in his life, he will say, I don't want to do those things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I do that thing that will displease by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me so much, it is not fair that I disobey Him and I displease Him at these moments. So this is how far reaching the sabr is. And now when a person sees his wife may be angry and upset with him, at that time he exercises patience and silence. This is also known as sabr. A man is driving on the road, somebody is being foolish towards him, somebody cuts in front of him, somebody swears him. A person who has got sabr in his life, at that moment also he won't say anything. He will display the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is also sabr. So you see how far reaching sabr is. A person's parents is gone old. His parents may have gone old and now they've become very demanding. We know people as they get older, they become more demanding. Their level of tolerance drops. So this person realizes that this is my test. Upon this test of his parents, he makes sabr. This is also known as sabr and patience. So sabr covers this person at that time. Sometimes a person's partner or sometimes his clients may be rude. Sometimes they may be difficult towards him. A person who's got patience in his life, even at that moment also he'll display sabr. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that this is such a gift a person has got. There isn't any gift that is more better, more far-reaching than the gift of sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality and the hakikat of bringing sabr in our lives. Either we're going to face a situation where we're happy, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we're going to face a situation in our lives where we have to practice and bring tolerance in our life. At every single moment we should see, are we fulfilling the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we bringing the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in demonstrating this high level of sabr that he demonstrated? May Allah give us all tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah. رب العالمين